Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And you know this is one of my favorite times of the week for several reasons. First of all, I'm talking to you. You're talking to me. But secondly, you know who's with me tonight?
I don't know. Who's here?
My favorite doctor. Anyway, we're starting the show.
And Carolyn thinks she's got a problem on her screen here, but I can't see her.
Because I can't see the stuff down there.
There's no stuff down there. Just relax. It's all good.
Of course it's
nothing
all good.
Nothing you have to worry about.
See, he's so calm. I'm freaking out because I can't figure out what I'm doing here. Anyway, my lovelies, we have a very special individual tonight. And we sent out a message that this was Master Kuthumi, of course. Master Kuthumi has several incarnations that we're very familiar with. And so perhaps we'll talk a little bit about that later. I don't want to give all the news out front. Let me sit here in my confusion, huh?
Sure, why not?
He loves when I sit here in a lot of confusion because he laughs at me.
That's because it's funny.
Well, you know, I'm not exactly computer literate like he is. He takes care of all that back-end stuff, and he does a good job of it. Anyway, Richard.
You do the creative stuff. It's good.
Well, you do a little creation yourself, too. Anyway, my dear friends, Master Kuthumi is here. And, I'm getting all of this beautiful energy that he is sending to me. It is so wonderful. So beautiful. And as I see him standing here next to me, he's showing me pictures of his other lifetimes, which is so fascinating. We're going to talk about that later tonight, I suspect, or else he wouldn't be showing me this. So, Richard, if you'd be kind enough to call in Master Kuthumi, I want you to tell the people about, you know, his energy, because I would love for people out there listening to us to feel this. Oh my goodness, I would love for you to feel it. And so what you do is just see a picture of what you think Master Kuthumi looks like. See it in the third eye. And in your heart, open up to him. And Richard's going to describe his energies, the way he feels. It is something truly magnificent. Richard?
Yes, I didn't need to call him in. He was right there. There's this beautiful, powerful, and yet gentle, loving, an energy that I would describe as masculine. Powerful, just exquisite energy is perhaps the best word I could use. There is... It's hard to kind of say that about someone's energy, but the energy conveys wisdom in its nature. There is this balance and presence and just refined wisdom that is communicated by his energy, this love, this understanding, compassion, and yet power. No nonsense, no... Just beautiful energy. Kind of funny words, but that's how it strikes me, all those little threads I gave you.
Yes,
beautiful.
And I hope the people who are listening to this and who are tuning into him can feel some of this love.
I will add something to it. It really is very much heart-centered in how he is connecting with me. It's very much... very much in the heart center that he is connecting with me.
Mm-hmm. just beautiful. And so he was very willing to come today for many reasons. He has a very, well, I suspect a very important message that he wants to discuss with our audience first. So, Richard, if you'd be kind enough just to take his message, we'd be very grateful to you.
Well, I have no idea what he's going to talk to us about tonight, so let's see what he has to say. And he's here, and he is saying, "My dear friends, I welcome this opportunity to speak with you through this medium, through this vehicle that has been so beautifully created by these two working together as they do. Some of you have begun to get a sense of who these two are. And I will say to you that I have worked with incarnations of these two over many, many lifetimes, and they are extremely well known to me. And it is with great joy and love that I come and participate and connect in this way. As you know, this is a very special time upon your beautiful planet. It is a time of great change that is about to be upon you. And I tell you, there are only two that could have come to provide the leadership that is necessary in this time, in this extraordinary transformation which is about to explode across your planet, because explode is the only word I can use. As you recognize, it is just a little over a year and a quarter to go until that December 2012 solstice, and so much needs to happen in that small window. It is hard to imagine that all that needs to be done will be done in that short time, but I assure you it will be. And some have some sense of the work that has been done by these two to get to this moment, but no one really understands what has been their mission to get to this point. They have spoken often about the three steps for the preparation of humanity for the ascension process: to acknowledge your creator, to clear your negative karmic past life energies, and to rejuvenate the physical body. But what only a few understand is that a key part of their mission has been to clear those beings of the dark, not only from the planet, but indeed from this galaxy and indeed this cosmos and indeed beyond it. Few understand that this has been part of their mission, and I take this opportunity to share it with, you might say, those caring few in the context of humanity who are present listening to this radio show and will listen to it in the recording later. And so I wanted to take the opportunity to mention this because I know they never will. They will never talk about what the two of them have been through in these last 3 years. The pain and suffering that Carolyn has had to go through to have all this unfold, and the somewhat different but in some ways no less challenging experiences that Richard has also had to go through to get to this moment. And I am honored to be here in this particular moment, because if you have listened to the messages that these two have posted for this sunspot activity that is currently arriving at the planet, and also the full moon, which will be with you in 2 days, and hence you are already entering the energies of that full moon. These energies have been sent to focus particularly on bringing forth that step of rejuvenation. As Father God said, there are no guarantees based on the evidence of the past, and I would agree with that position. However, I will also mention that I personally have been working very, very diligently with these two over the last 2 to 3 weeks to see this preparation for this time be completed. And so it is a great honor that I experience to work with them and to assist humanity in my own way to prepare for this time. Few understand that I am an aspect of a soul which is also a very early soul, as Marietta is, that monad which sent forth Yeshua. I am one that came forth not long after Marietta, and I have worked in service of that radiant one, but also in service of these two. And it is my great joy to work in those roles, and in many ways, many of my lifetimes have been connected to that when I have been on planet Earth, but also my work throughout the cosmos has been connected to that role of service. And so it is truly with great joy that I stand here sharing this moment with you, which it is my view represents a very close moment to when the rejuvenation for humanity will begin to come forth. It is a precious moment, because as this begins to unfold, the experience of life for all of humanity will no longer be the same. This change will progress rapidly across the planet. There is a small group of a few hundred who will initially engage this rejuvenation step, and they will show up all over the planet. And despite, I anticipate, the best efforts of those who control your media, they will be unable to suppress this change. And the key reason I am speaking about this to you tonight is because I want to engender some excitement within all of you. There will be great challenge and difficulty over this time as humanity's sense of a solid reality in this three-dimensional experience that you are having gets shaken. So many people feel they have solved the riddle of life and have life where they want it, if you will, whilst they spend the rest of their time until they depart. However, that complacency will not be allowed to persist. And so there will be a lot of disruption on many levels, financial and economic and government and many other things, earth changes and so on. And yet, to understand what this is all about is to be joyful, because all of this is really wake-up time for humanity to engage with this extraordinary change which is on your doorstep. And so it is a time to be excited, to be joyful, to grasp this extraordinary unfolding and to grasp it and make it part of your life as rapidly as possible, whoever you are, wherever you have come from. Whether you are listening to this live now or whether you are listening to the recording later, it makes no difference, because the opportunity is there in front of you on some level to engage in your own terms those steps of preparation and to grasp this change with joy. Because as you do, as has been said before, there is a new consciousness that you will become part of after you have stepped through these three steps of preparation. A new joy, a new consciousness, a new experience of life, the coming forth of that magic carpet experience that Yeshua has previously spoken about. This is what awaits you. This is what is happening in your time. And the more of you that grasp this experience, so the contrast for those that have not will grow. It truly will be like two different life streams existing at the same time upon your planet, one that is falling apart and one that is moving forward with the grace of a swan on calm water, because that will be your experience in these perfected, rejuvenated, perfected physical bodies. And so this, my friends, is what is in front of you. And in my view, it is about to begin truly in earnest. So many times this has seemed like it will be with you, and yet it has not been. So many times. And because of the work that I have been doing in background with these two, I will say to you that it is my view that all of that interference, that resistance, those mechanisms to prevent this coming forth, including, I might say, many of humanity that wished to not have their reality shaken up by this. This is part of what has had to be battled through. Those individuals who, because of their attitudes of jealousy and of, in some cases, hatred, have sought in their own energetic ways, often unconsciously, to prevent this unfolding. All of these things have had to be dealt with by these two, yet they never discuss it. And so, this is the picture I wish to paint for you, this moment of joyful explosion which I perceive unfolding upon your planet in the very near future. And so it is.
Thank you, Master Katumi. I had a vision of a past life of mine when I was in Atlantis before the fall, as we know when we fell into the third dimension. And I had this vision of the physical body and what it looked like, and I will never forget it. And I would like for you, Master Katumi, if you would, to give an explanation of how you perceive the body when it will be rejuvenated.
The physical body is intended to be a perfect expression of the soul which it carries. And as you live life today, that is not so. In the time of Atlantis, the physical body was perfect. And there is still this hankering for that perfection that humanity carries today. It is why so many of humanity are drawn to film stars and models and whatever perception they have of the perfect physical body. It is like a magnet. And this is why. Because on a deep level, you all have the memory of having a perfect physical form which does not age, and which is truly a reflection of the soul that is contained therein. In the time of Atlantis, the nature of the physical body was that the soul, if you will, shone forth from within the body. There was such light coming forth that in some cases where the individual held many soul particles, the light could be so bright that it was almost impossible to see the clothing that that individual was wearing. It's hard to imagine this, but that is how it was. And this is what Carolyn was describing. And so there are some steps to reach that status. Part of the ability to do this was because the body carried all of the DNA strands active. By that I mean the human physical body had some 2,000, actually more than 2,000 DNA strands which were active. Some of those were in the etheric. In fact, quite a number were in the etheric, but the rest were in the physical body. And so the way the body behaved and the abilities of the human being were so different from now. And so for that full capability, that shining forth that existed in Atlantis, if you will take the reactivation of the human DNA to bring forth, which, as you understand, is planned for the end of December 2012, after the solstice. However, before that, there will be, as a result of the rejuvenation command, a perfection of the physical body come forth. The aging process not only will be stopped, but it will be reversed back to the age that you consider to be your perfect age. For most people, that will be in the range of 20 to 35. And you will, if you are older than that, you will rejuvenate to the age of your choice. But as has been said, there will be this perfection in the physical body. But more than that, those who have completed that rejuvenation process, and for most of you, it will take only 3 or so days after you experience the rejuvenation command for it to come forth. When this is complete, you will also display a grace and a peace and a joy which other people will feel coming forth from you. And so it truly will be like a new race of people upon the planet. And this has been designed to be a trigger which will awaken humanity to what is unfolding. It is not just that you will look younger. It is not just that you will display perfection in your physical form, but you will also be sending forth this grace and peace and joy. And you will seem so different from others around you who have not yet embraced this. And, as I said, this is a trigger for the rest of humanity, for them to recognize that this great change, which unconsciously they are aware of, is now upon them. And so this rejuvenation process will bring forth this seemingly new race of people that will be spread throughout all colors, all creeds, all manner of humanity across the planet. Because, of course, this is not in any manner different for any races or creeds or colors. So this is how I perceive it, this coming forth of that perfected, rejuvenated form, displaying grace and peace and joy, which will turn heads as you walk down the street, I promise you. And as I have described, once the DNA is reactivated, once more that light of the soul will shine forth from the physical body. This is what awaits you, my friends. This is all that existed in the time of Atlantis. It has been a long walk from there to here. But you are about to not only reclaim all of that ability, but indeed move beyond it. It is a truly extraordinary time in which you find yourselves.
Thank you, Master Kuthumi. It's going to be very difficult for people to understand or even grasp in any fashion what the body was then, what happened to the body, and why we are, you might say, moving up the ladder right now. And so, if you would, I would like for you to address what happened with the telomere on the chromosome, because that explains the aging process and how that will be reversed when the physical body is rejuvenated. Can you just address that?
As part of the fall, you might say, at the end of the time of Atlantis, one of the changes that was made in the physical body was that a certain aspect of the chromosome in the cells, known as the telomere, would not fully reproduce. And so little pieces break off, you might say, and so there are a limited number of times that any given cell can divide. And this is what primarily causes the aging process. And this was set up intentionally because it was recognized that this experience of living in this changed consciousness, this third dimensional consciousness, would be so challenging. It was recognized that you would come and leave your memories and your skills and abilities behind. You would forget for the most part who and what you are. And so there was concern that you might get stuck in patterns of behaviors and experience that because you lacked your memories and your skills and abilities, you would be stuck inside of without a simple way of getting free of it. And so this was one of the reasons this was set up, so that the lifetime that you might get stuck in, you might say, would have a very natural ending to it. And you could then cross over, review your experiences, make another choice to return and start all over again. So this was a very conscious choice. And now that you have come to the end of that cycle, this decay of the telomere is being reversed. And it will no longer decay as it has been over this 13 or so thousand years of the fall. And this is a key part of the rejuvenation process. Firstly, the reversal of that damage, if you will, that decay of the telomere. It will be re-established, and as a result of that, all of the missing cells in the body, in the organs and elsewhere, will be revived. And because of the clearing of past life karma, it will allow any limitations of the physical body that you have either gathered through the aging process or that you chose as you came into this lifetime because of those karmic issues, all of this will be swept away because that karmic clearing process needs to be completed before the rejuvenation process can be activated. And so there will be this perfection that will arise.
Thank you, Master Kuthumi. We have found with working with people that there seems to be a lot of confusion about exactly what karma is. And what we have found is that people think that, at least the ones that we have been working with, that karma comes about because you have done something wrong, and basically you got to make up for it, so to speak. Would you give our audience your concept of what karma is, please?
I will confine my comments to the key energies that need to be dealt with as part of the clearing process, because it is these energies which are driving so much that is happening at this time for people on the planet. As Richard often says, the most common perception of past life karma is that which arises within either the Buddhist or the Hindu traditions, because they are the groups that tend to discuss this the most. And those perceptions, as you say, Carolyn, are connected to suggestions, if you will, that the individual has on some level failed in a past life. And I will say to you that, for the most part, this is not so. The nature of negative past life karmic energies is simply energies, negative energies that were present when you crossed over in a past life. And if you begin to understand the journey that all of you have walked with your intermingling with the dark, you will recognize that so many of you have died violent deaths for one reason or another. You may have been tortured to death. You may have lived during the time of war and simply been a, what might be termed, an innocent victim of war. Or you might have been a soldier or a warrior or a knight and been killed through that process. And for many people, that moment of death was a moment that involved great fear. And so, because the fear was present when you crossed over, so this energy of fear contributes to your negative past life karmic energies. And I say to you, the key source of these energies is simply those difficult circumstances in which so many of you have crossed over the millennia. And so there is no basis to this view that you have lessons you need to learn or debts you need to pay or karma that you need to work off. Nor is there any basis for this model of living life with a view in the rear vision mirror in case you create more negative karma and spend another 10 lifetimes clearing it, which certainly is there in the teachings of Buddhism and Hinduism today. And if you examine that model, you can see that that model generates guilt and shame for people. And anyone who has examined religion on your planet will recognize that in various ways it is about disempowering people and controlling them. And I say to you that this model of past life karma is simply one of those mechanisms. And so I say to you that these energies are not accumulated in any other form of consciousness from lifetime to lifetime as they are upon your planet. And indeed, they were not accumulated before the fall, nor will they beyond ascension. They simply exist in the way that you experience them on your planet in this window of time between the fall and ascension. So it's important to understand this, and I am not saying to you that negative karma does not arise in other forms of consciousness. Indeed, it does. And it is a reflection of individuals not for a period of time, taking responsibility for their missions, for their journeys and their interactions with other souls. And this simply can be resolved in any consciousness by taking responsibility for yourself. If you have, you might say, done the wrong thing by somebody, then it is simply a matter of asking for their forgiveness or apologizing, whichever is appropriate, and indeed forgiving yourself if that is appropriate. If you take those steps, there is nothing that remains. It is clear. There is no penalty that you need to work through, provided you understand what has happened and take responsibility for it. Ultimately, that is the key issue for every soul that exists, taking responsibility for your journey and interacting interacting with integrity with all other beings. This is the key. This is the key.
Thank you, Master Kathumi. Now, you've given us some idea of the physical body, how that is, what that will be like when you rejuvenate, and the process and karma. I'd like to know a little bit about planet Earth. As I understand the body, when we fell into the third dimension, the particles were compacted together, and so there were changes. And this period is going to change again so that there are more particles involved to bring more light through, to make changes. Can you give us some thought about what is going to happen on the Earth?
When the planet and humanity fell with the fall, the spacing between particles reduced, and also the nature of those particles changed. This is a very dense form of consciousness in which you exist. Indeed, it is the most dense form of consciousness where beings carry a soul, as you do. And because of that density, there is very little light which can move in between the particles of matter. And with the ascension process, and indeed beginning particularly with the solstice of December 2012, though I will say to you that the spacings have already been somewhat opened up, but particularly with that December solstice, the spacing of the particles, and indeed the nature of the particles, will change. The particles themselves will open up to an extent, and the spacing between the particles will grow. And what this allows is far more light to come between the particles. And this, you may not understand, is very important, because that light truly is the light of spirit, if you will, the light of your creator. And so as this light comes forth, so you will begin to experience yourselves very, very differently. And this is in addition to the reawakening of the DNA, as I described earlier. And so this will in and of itself transform humanity's experience of themselves and what it means to be a human being and indeed a spiritual being. It will transform your experience of who and what you are. I cannot begin to share with you how differently you will experience yourselves as you pass through these transformations. It will be unimaginable for you to envision that experience of yourselves from where you stand. Simply unimaginable. I can give you some hints, but your ability to experience yourself, to communicate with all forms of consciousness, wherever they may exist, to live in continuous communication with your Creator, is an experience that you cannot imagine at this moment. To be able to, at will, imagine, envision what you wish and bring it forth in the physical. To no longer have any requirement to work to generate money to get the basics of life, because you can simply bring forth the basics of life at will. This tyranny that you are caught inside of today, where so many of you run that treadmill, that mouse wheel, if you will, of life, where you spend so much of your time generating enough income, working for somebody else to generate enough income to survive. This whole process will disappear from your experience. And so the experience of this opening up will be truly extraordinary.
Thank you so much for explaining that. Now, before we take questions from our listeners, there is something else that I would like for you to comment on, and that is what scientists now consider junk DNA. And I think if you can give us a little insight into that, it'll help people understand these changes and how they're possible.
I'm going to give you an answer which is perhaps a little more detailed than you might expect. The process of the fall in Atlantis was, in a way, more complex than you might imagine. It was not a matter of the physical body as it existed in Atlantis being transformed to the form of the body that you have today. The two looked quite similar, but in many ways were quite different. And when it was recognized that the fall needed to occur, work began to prepare a new physical form that the soul could occupy, a form that could survive through this long period, that reflected the requirements of the form that the human physical body would be through this period, and be of a form that could then be reawakened at the end of this cycle, because all of this was long planned. And so the form of the body, which was initially created, you might say, or re-established, was based upon some existing humanoid beings upon your planet, and you might say some genetic engineering was undertaken to refine that humanoid to be the platform that was required for humanity passing through this period. That particular form did not carry all of the what you call junk DNA that you now carry. Indeed, part of the process that was put in place, part of the planning, was to reintroduce that so-called junk DNA, that inactive DNA, into humanity. And this, my friends, was part of the mission of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene that is not well understood. That mitochondrial DNA was returned through them, through their children, to all of humanity. And so that mitochondrial DNA, or junk DNA, is the DNA which will form all of the active DNA strands that are in the physical, which will return at the end of this period of preparation, with the end of December 2012. There have been many steps in this process. This process of preparation, you might say, for this ascension time actually began before the finalization of the fall in Atlantis. These things have not been left to chance. Those beings that have overseen the progression of humanity in its physical form, and also the progression of those souls, the spiritual development, if you will, of humanity, have not left these things to chance. It has all been carefully planned. And so this, what you call junk DNA, which represents some 98% of all of the DNA in the human body, will open like a flower. It will come to life as a result of the actions taken by that new aspect of Marietta to come forth at the end of 2012, working with his parents to activate that mitochondrial DNA for all of humanity, so that all of the skills and abilities that the human being had before the fall in Atlantis will be reactivated, and the door will be open to even more than was possible in that time.
That is all so exciting, and we have so many questions ourselves. However, we're going to turn to a listener online who does have a question, and this is Ella from Seattle, Washington. Hi, Ella.
My name is Bella, and I have a question. Thank you very much. I have a question, and I'm sorry if it's been addressed on air. I might have missed it while I was trying to phone in. But I was wondering if someone could tell me whether some of this energy or this activation could possibly already be taking place. I lately have been feeling, especially in meditation, almost as if my body is not solid. It feels like each one of my cells has been on 100 cups of coffee or something. And it's a really amazing feeling, and I don't want it to stop, but I just was wondering if there's something going on now already that could be causing me to feel like that.
Are you basically saying it is the energy that you're feeling?
I think that's what it is, because it seems like what triggered it was that I had sort of a, I did your right brain magic exercise, and I had like a past life memory from Atlantis. And mm-hmm. since that time, I have felt like all of the time, and it's not jumpy and it's not at all unpleasant. It's more of a lightness, like a not solid feeling. I was wondering if that had anything to do with the time that we're in, if anything is possibly going on already.
Well, there's a lot of things going on right now. Richard, did you understand the question?
I did. This is Bella, yes?
Yes, this is Bella.
Hi, Bella.
Hi. Feels like something is already happening.
Well, yes, let's see what Master Gautami has to say about this. There has been great change that has already occurred as a result of the energies that have come forth. As I mentioned earlier, there has already been a change in the spacing of the cells, of the particles in the body, to allow at least some further light to come into the body to assist with the process of preparation. And what you are experiencing is the result of that increased light, combined with the impact on your body of the energies coming from the Eye of Isis, which carry energies of great transformation in their own right. And so this, you might say, almost vibration of your cells, this sense of independent vibration of excitement of your cells is a reflection of these changes, combined with your own discipline, your own development, your own spiritual focus. These elements have come together to create this experience for you. And it is not that your body will become a light body. Some believe that with ascension, the body will become a light body. That is not so. You will continue to retain a solid physical form. However, your experience of that form will be transformed. It will be much more vital. It will feel much more like a body of light because it contains so much more light and it is capable of so much more. However, it will continue to be very solid indeed. And so this might seem somewhat confusing, perhaps, but it is not meant to be. I simply am using these words so that you can perhaps grasp a little of what is happening for you and indeed what the experience will be beyond the ascension process.
Well, Ella, you got your answer. Bella, you got your answer now. Exciting,
yes,
isn't it?
It's an awesome feeling. You just wish everybody could feel like this. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome,
Bella. Have a great
evening.
Bye.
Bye. We have a little bit of trouble with the line, so that people have had a bit of a struggle getting their questions to us, but I understand that the lines have just come up, and if you care to call in your question, please feel free to do so. While we're waiting for some callers to get back on the line, there's a few phrases here, Master Kuthumi, that we hear about, and I think there's some confusion around them, and perhaps you can bring some understanding. Can you give us some thoughts about carbon-based cells and crystalline-based?
There is much misunderstanding about this transformation. It has been said through your work and through others that the cells will be changing from carbon-based to crystalline-based. In truth, the cells will remain carbon-based. It is just that the shape of the cell will change to be of a crystalline shape. And this shape in itself is allowing more light into the cells. And so it is part of the change which needs to flow through for all of humanity that is to participate in this process, and indeed is a process that for many people on the planet is already complete. And so some have thought that this means that the body will switch over to be a silicon-based form, and this is not the case. Anyone who understands organic chemistry and the rules of organic chemistry do not fundamentally change with this shift in dimension and so on. The ability of carbon to form complex compounds that make bodies such as the human body possible rely on those abilities of carbon. And so this doesn't change. It is simply a change in the shape of the cell. It is perhaps an unfortunate terminology which has been used, but the essence to understand is that the shape of the cell is changing to what you might call a crystalline shape.
Thank you, because that really does straighten out some people's ideas or thoughts about what the cells are going to be like, and I think it's very important, and I thank you for that, Master Kuthumi. We have a caller on line 2 from Ottawa, but apparently our producer did not hear the name. So on line 2, I didn't hear you, dear. What is it?
Adolfina.
Abafina?
Adolfina.
Yes.
Adolfina. Oh, great. Can you be kind enough, and welcome, can you be kind enough to give us your question?
Thank you very much. I'm a little shy, and it's the first time I call. Even I always listen to the program on Saturday. I never dare to call, and I just I'm surprised. It's the first time this happens to me. I cannot stop crying. As soon as Master Kutumi started speaking, I cannot stop crying. I just relax. I feel he's beautiful, peaceful, and calm. But I cannot stop crying. I don't know why this Agnes is like. I don't want him leaving. I want him continue with us.
Well, the beautiful thing is we do have a recording that you'll be able to listen to this again. And yes, there is such beauty about Master Kutumi's sense of energy that you can pick up, his love, his understanding, and also what he is talking about. I mean, you know, we've been waiting for this for centuries. Richard, do you wish to comment on it, or Master Kutumi?
No, I don't think I have anything to add, and I'm a little unclear exactly what's being said.
Well, what she is saying is how she feels. She feels this emotional connection to the beauty of Master Kutumi and what he is saying.
Yeah.
And she's, as I perceive it, she is feeling his love and also the excitement of what is before us. And she says that, you know, she's crying and can't stop crying. And that's my perception of it. And if you wish to comment on that, or perhaps Master Kutumi, I don't know.
Well, firstly, my comment is I have had the joy of working with Adolfina in the past, and I know what a joyful and passionate, committed woman she is. Such a joy to contribute to the lives of others. And let us see what Master Kutumi has to say. Your joy is a joy that I share and was seeking to share with you at the beginning of this call in my message. It is a joy that more and more of humanity will come to connect with as events unfold. Not all will express it with such passion and openness that you do, because that is your nature. However, all of humanity, as they truly begin to connect with what is unfolding here, will begin to experience some similar responses to yours.
Thank you, Master Kutumi. And I would like to thank you for sharing your thoughts with us and also for calling in. Everyone is so welcome, and don't feel shy. We're here to pass your beautiful thoughts along to those who come and speak to us. So thank you so much for being here. And our next caller is on line 3, and it is Helen from the Bay Area. Helen, welcome.
Oh, good evening, Richard and Carolyn. It's Helen.
Hi, Helen.
I have two specific questions. First, I want to ask that I also heard that Master Kutumi is also the reincarnation of Saint Francis of Assisi. And I'm sorry, I missed the previous show. I just became available. I don't know whether it has been touched upon this subject. Can I ask this question?
Of course, Richard.
Thank you.
Well, it might be a cue, Carolyn, for you to speak a little about the past lives of Master Kutumi, which I suspect some people are aware of, but probably not in the way that you are.
Yes. Master Kuthumi did experience life on this planet as St. Francis. And he also experienced life as Balthazar, who visited the Christ child when he was born in Bethlehem. He was one of the wise men. And Richard, I don't know if you want to add to that or not, and then we'll ask Master Kuthumi to comment on it.
Well, I would also add that what is not recognized is that Balthazar was the grandfather of Mary Magdalene.
Mm.
And also, of course, he is recognized as having come forth as Pythagoras. So they're perhaps the best past lifetimes that are known of Master Kuthumi. I'll call him forth and see what he wishes to say. These are the key lifetimes that history has recorded, but indeed there have been many other times that I have come forth upon the planet. Usually they have been at key times to bring key messages and understandings to humanity, and history recognizes that as Balthazar I was one of the Magi, and it is not well understood who the Magi were. The Magi were a group who came forth from Atlantis and sought to preserve as much of the skills and abilities and, in some cases, technology from Atlantis and to seek to bring it forth down through the ages. One of the key targets of that work was indeed to bring that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding down through to the time of Yeshua so that he could fulfill the mission that was planned at that time. And the role, in a sense, of the Magi was fulfilled by that point in time. And so, as I said, I have come many other times also, but I do not wish to dwell on that.
Master Kuthumi, thank you so much for your beautiful, beautiful information, your energies for our callers, and you, Richard, who has done such a magnificent job of bringing his essence forth. It is time for us to say goodbye until next week.